I'm DeWitt Bingham. Welcome to the Justice for All podcast show, where we discuss all things social and criminal justice related, from the front end to the back end, and everything in between. You have a right to remain silent, because anything you say can and will be held against you. You have a right to an attorney. If you cannot afford one, one will be appointed for you. You're in the self-incrimination protection zone, where there is no cruel and unusual punishment, no illegal search and seizure. The exclusionary rule has you covered. So sit back, relax, and become sold on this week's episode.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Justice for All podcast show. I'm DeWitt Bingham, your host. Thank you for tuning in to the show that discusses all things social justice and criminal justice, where the goals are to inform you, the American citizen, of your constitutional right to provide educational and occupational guidance to high school and college students and to be a voice for change. We are in our eighth week of classes at Heartland Community College. We are in Unit 3, and we are moving right along, and we are learning about the courts. So without any further ado, I introduce to some and present to others, Ms. Emily Coddington and Mr. Jack Forshee. Welcome to the show, Emily and Jack.
Thank you for having us.
You too, sir.
The title of today's show is Court Descriptions. So let's jump right in. Segment one, Jack and Emily, is for the educational and occupational guidance of high school and college students. We accomplish this by having our guests introduce themselves. So if you would, tell the audience where you were born and raised, what high school you attended, your major or planned major, why you enrolled in the class, and give us one career goal, beginning with you, Jack.
I was born in Normal, and I was raised in Bloomington. I attend a Normal Community West High School.
Wow, cats.
My planned major. Absolutely. My major right now is political science. I'm sticking to that. My reason I joined this class is because it kind of fits into politics a little bit. I also really like to learn about criminal justice. I always like to learn about law. And my career goal, oh, definitely something in politics, because having a law about something to do with law is also important if you want to go into politics or be a politician. Might consider being a politician, maybe, or something to do with governance for sure.
Okay. Emily?
All right. So I was born in La Crosse, Wisconsin, but I've been raised in Bloomington. What high schools I attended, that's a little complicated for me because I was a bit of a troublemaker in high school.
No, no, not you, Emily. No. Sweet, yeah. Emily.
I started out at U-High, and then I went to BHS. Then my parents sent me to Alabama for a year at a like a program for troubled teens. So I was there for a year. Then I went to Cornerstone. Then I went to West for a day. And then I went to RAS, where I finished high school. So I went to six high schools in total.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay.
I am majoring in psychology and minoring in criminal justice. I enrolled in the class just to start my criminal justice, like, part of my minor. I just want to learn more about the system. I have, like, personal experiences with the criminal justice system, but I wanted more, like, a educational experience with it. And one career goal I have is I want to be a therapist in prisons or work with people who are determined, like, mentally unfit, the criminally insane. That's kind of where I want to go in my career.
Wonderful. Both of you guys want to get off into the law and politics, possibly, and therapists in terms of corrections. You know, I did my internship at Pontiac Prison in clinical services. In clinical services, you actually are dealing with the inmates from the perspective of really trying to minister to the needs that they have. I love that experience. They definitely are in need of somebody like yourself, Emily, who has, sounds like a very interesting personal testimony. All right, moving on. Constitutional rights. Segment two is to inform the American public of their constitutional rights. Before we ask you to tell us what your favorite constitutional right is and why, let's remind the audience that today's episode is entitled Court Descriptions. Let's begin with you, Emily. In your own words, can you describe what the Supreme Court is?
Yes. So the Supreme Court is basically the highest court out of all of our systems. They're responsible for interpreting the Constitution. They also hear cases that have been appealed from lower courts, and their decisions impact the laws in the United States. And the Supreme Court is made up of 9 justices that are appointed for lifelong terms.
Wonderful. Have you been following the former president's involvement with the court system?
Trump?
Yes.
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit.
Okay.
Not a whole bunch, but I've seen a thing or two about his decision and him appointing the lifelong justice, and people weren't happy about who he wanted to appoint. And yeah.
Okay. And so then you know that he currently is appealing his total immunity.
Yes, I did see that. Maybe in Colorado, or I forget where it was that he was going to court, but yes, that he wanted to have all of his charges and things dropped because it was during his presidency.
The situation in Colorado had to do with him being taken off the ballot because, according to their state law, anyone who partakes in a insurrection, just like anyone who doesn't meet the age standard, cannot be president. They viewed it the same way. And so they took him off the ballot. But the Supreme Court ruled that he is to stay on the ballot. The immunity, you're correct. It had to do with him actually being charged federally or with federal felony crime. But you've been following that?
A little bit. Yeah, I've heard about it.
Okay, Jack, in your own words, describe to the audience what a state court is.
So a state court is kind of like the Supreme Court, but for like each state, because each state has a state court, and they deal with laws that are in that specific state. They deal with civil cases, criminal cases, family matters, and the such. And all the laws are different, but unlike the Supreme Court's with every single state, since every single state has different laws and the such.
Okay, yeah, wonderful. As Jack said, the state courts actually deal with felony offenders, misdemeanor offenders who violate the state laws that are passed by the state legislatures. For example, in state of Illinois, those laws would be passed by the legislators that are in Springfield, Illinois. The difference between the state court and federal court is that the federal court deals with individuals who violate the federal laws, and then the Supreme Court will hear cases at both levels. Emily, I should tell the audience, we were supposed to have 3 individuals today, but we only have the great Jack and the great Emily. And so Emily has volunteered to take on the next question that was designed for the third party of today's podcast. And that question is, or if you would, Emily, in your own words, can you tell the audience what drug court is?
Yeah. So drug court is basically a specialized program, and it's to help people with substance abuse. It's kind of more of like a rehabilitative approach instead of just incarceration, so that they can get the help they need, get to the root of the problems of their drug abuse, and hopefully like get clean and stay clean instead of just sending them into a prison. It also is hoping to help reduce recidivism. So it's just kind of a rehabilitative approach to drug abuse and substance issues.
Wonderful. Jack, Emily mentioned recidivism. She mentions that it is a program to help keep people out of prison, and it's also designed to prevent them from recidivating. Can you tell the audience, Jack, what recidivism is?
Isn't it to recommit a crime?
Exactly. Emily, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, it's just like the likeliness of somebody to reoffend. There's pretty high rates in Illinois for recidivism, but it's basically just people who have already been to prison and then they reoffend to go back to prison.
Wonderful. And so, as Emily and Jack points out, it's someone who has violated the law originally, and then the court gives them a sentence, whether that be probation, whether that be jail, or whether that be a commitment to the Department of Corrections. If that individual is either re-jailed or their probation is revoked and they're placed on probation again, or they actually committed to prison, they are considered to have re-offended. And so thus they are increasing the recidivism rate. And we always like to say, those of us who are criminal justice practitioners, that even if we could help one person be successful, then we are actually making a dent in that recidivism rate. And to Emily's point, typically recidivism is somewhere in the area of the low would be like 30% for those who have violated the law and recommitting criminal offenses. And the research shows that the longer an individual goes in the community and or without violating the law, the higher the opportunity or the more likely they are to reoffend. And so what we do is once a person has been successful for a year, 2 years, they might reoffend. And so we actually try to take precautions to actually help them out from reoffending. But great job, guys. All right. So now tell me what your favorite constitutional right is, beginning with you, Jack.
My favorite constitutional right probably has to be, this is a hard one because there's two that I like. I like the second.
Okay.
And also I like the Fourth Amendment. I'm going to start with the second since I'm leaning towards that one. The right to carry firearms and have a well-regulated militia in case of a tyrannical government. Because there's a lot of countries in this world, mainly in the Western world, like Germany, France, they have free speech. But if someone that wants to basically have control over the country, they can limit free speech and they have no way of regulating a militia to fight against that tyrannical government. And that protects all the other rights as well. And for the Fourth Amendment, I like how in order for the police to come inside without reasonable suspicion, they have to have a warrant and they can't search your car or any property that you own without a warrant or a reasonable cause.
Wonderful. So Fourth Amendment, search and seizure. Wonderful, Jack. All right, Emily?
So my favorite is the Fifth Amendment. Double jeopardy, pleading the fifth, self-incrimination, grand jury. I like those because I think that it's I feel like with a lot of the other rights, they have good intentions, but I've seen them definitely be walked around or abused in other ways. And I feel like the Fifth Amendment is definitely a protection of the people. I mean, they all are, but I feel the Fifth is very clear, like, the government can't go after you multiple times for the same crime if you've already been tried. I think that protects people because they could. If we didn't have that, I'm sure they would go after people multiple times until they got what they wanted from it. Being able to plead the fifth so you don't incriminate yourself in court if you have done something, that's another thing to really protect a person in America, not just another like law or, you know, it's really for the people.
Wonderful. Not the American government, Emily. All right. Wonderful. Okay. Is anyone above the law? Beginning with you, Jack.
I believe there's some corrupt individuals, some on a government that believe that they are above the law and they can pay individuals to not get themselves incriminated or keep negative press about them. But I believe for the most part, American citizens are not above the law.
Okay. Emily?
I kind of had a similar answer. I think it's yes and no. We definitely like see people in political positions or especially people who are financially more fortunate than others. They're able to get much better deals, keep things kind of hush hush, that the average American citizen probably would not be able to do due to financial reasons. I think, you know, some of the best like lawyers and people out there cost a lot of money. So the average day-to-day citizen wouldn't be able to afford that kind of care in terms of their like legal representation. But somebody who has much more money would be able to get better representation, to get either a better deal, get something dropped, things like that. So I think it kind of is a yes and no.
Okay. All right. Very good. Would both of you agree that no one should be above the law?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. For sure. Good. Very good. All right. Moving on. Segment three, being a voice for change. As an emerging adult who grew up in a predominantly white America, what say Emily and Jack about white supremacy and Black Lives Matter? Beginning with you, Emily.
So I think white supremacy is still relevant. It still exists. It's terrible that it does, but it's just a reality that it is there still. I think with Black Lives Matter, it stands for things that are genuine issues for the Black community. There's things that they go through and deal with that need to be spoken about. And I think it definitely like brings the attention to those issues, and it calls for a change in those issues, which I think is genuinely important to that community because they are treated differently. They are treated a lot of times unequally compared to other citizens. So I think that it stands for a change in the way things work in our country, which is needed.
Wonderful. Okay. Jack?
Well, white supremacy, ever since the Civil Rights Act of 68 came, white supremacy has been on the down low, which is really good. So it's not as prevalent now as it was before the Civil Rights Act. But I do believe there are small pockets of it throughout the United States, but it isn't as relevant now as it was back then. For Black Lives Matter, the message is across as, of course, Black Lives Matter, and Blacks have struggled in this country for a long time. Some corrupt police officers have done bad things to Blacks and marginalized groups. The good news is body cams are more prevalent now, so these types of corruptions can be finally dealt with. There's a tiny bit of individuals in the BLM movement that just use an excuse to loot and defame the organization in the message that gets across. And I believe if more education and better schooling came to the marginalized areas, I believe that marginalized groups will have a better life and put an end to the discrimination in this country.
Okay. All right. Wonderful. I asked everybody that comes on the show, what one thing you would like to see the Biden administration accomplish? Beginning with you, Emily.
So I'm sure it probably won't necessarily be accomplished because it's going to take quite a long time. But I am very, very interested in seeing a reduce in recidivism, in prison reform, just kind of out with the old and in with something that's going to work better for the people in the country. Also, more consistent, I want to say equal punishment, but I know because we have judges who make the decisions, it's never going to be 100% equal, but equal punishment or more consistent punishments as far as like when people are sentenced, you know, you tend to see people of minority groups are sentenced to prison much more. They're sentenced in longer sentencing than white individuals are. And I think that it's completely unfair You see them in the same circumstances and one person will get probation and the other will get 6 years in prison. And I just don't think that that's quite fair, especially when it's highly affecting minority communities. So that's what I want to see.
Wonderful. And I wanted to ask you, do you think it was a good thing that marijuana has been decriminalized? Because marijuana, I'll come back to that, okay? Let's let Jack answer regarding the one thing that he would like to see the Biden administration accomplish.
I agree a lot with Emily's statement of what she wants to see the Biden administration do for this country. I would definitely invest more in schooling and education and better schools for marginalized groups, as I said previously, because it'll help those who can't get that, who are in poverty, get better education and learn how to help their communities for sure. And that would definitely for sure help the crime rate go down. So less incarcerations, less recidivism, and the like.
All right. Very good. Last question. Marijuana is legal in the state of Illinois. Do you think that marijuana should be legalized federally?
I believe it's a good thing that it's being legalized. I don't smoke at all, but I believe it's kind of like petty to like get criminalized for having weed when there's a lot worse types of drugs out there like meth, cocaine, and the like. I don't think weed should be illegal at all.
Okay. Emily?
Yeah. So I think that it definitely should be legalized at a federal level. I've done actually quite a bit of research on like drugs in countries and what decriminalizing drugs does for countries. Portugal is actually a country that in 2001, they decriminalized all drugs, everything. That's not drug trafficking. You still can't traffic drugs or, you know, stuff like that. But they decriminalized it so it would end like major issues and stigma around drug use. And they've actually seen major, major success in this because it's not a crime anymore for you to use drugs. And if you do and are caught using drugs, you get sent to like a board and they do like programs with you, which is what our drug court is supposed to be for. But again, in our system, you see a lot of people still in prison who are drug addicts and you misuse substances a lot. And so I think that making drugs legal at a federal level, especially marijuana, I don't think that that should be illegal at all. But overall, drugs at a federal level, I think should be legalized because it really does take away a lot of the issues that surround drugs. And Portugal is a huge success story of it. They did it and their crime rates and things are some of the lowest that you see because it's just not looked at in the same way. It's not such a horrible criminal thing. It's more of like a disease and an issue that you need help with.
Wonderful. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Description of the Supreme Court, description of a state court, the goal of drug court, important constitutional rights, and how to make America a better place to live. Until next time, keep living your best life. God bless and Godspeed.